great to see all of you here this morning. Once again, we're looking at the book of Revelation that we are in a study of. And this morning, we're back in chapter 13. Of course, we are in this part of the scripture of what will be known as the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period of time. And last Sunday morning, we saw the beast of the sea, which represented world dictator that will one day come on the scene. He will be the Antichrist. He will come out of the masses of the people. That's why it says that he comes up out of the sea of people there. He will, I believe, be from the revived Roman Empire. And we looked at the description of who and what this man's going to be like. And so this morning we begin in chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, where we see another beast, and this is called the beast of the earth, the beast of the earth. And so I want to read this morning verses 11 through 18 from the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. The first beast, of course, being the Antichrist. And this second beast will be the false prophet. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. Father God, as we pause this morning from the reading of your word, God, we pause to realize that you have given us in this 66 book canon of scripture, not only Genesis, the beginning, but also Revelation, the consummation of the age. God, I pray that we would be reminded that the end of times are near at hand. Father, we realize that we don't know the day, we don't know the hour when this will all happen. But God, we do know according to your prophetic word, it will take place on your time schedule from before the foundation of the world. So this morning, as we pause in reflection upon what John was given here in the book of Revelation, may we be reminded of how important it is that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we view these verses, just as there is a Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there is also going to be an unholy Trinity. Satan, of course, being one of those, he's the deceiver, he's the destroyer, he's a murderer from the beginning, according to the Bible. He's always tried to mimic what God does because he wanted to be God himself. But this unholy Trinity is composed of the dragon in the book of Revelation, who is Satan, and then the beast out of the sea, which is the Antichrist, the one world dictator, and then the third part of that unholy trinity is the beast we just read about here in today's text, the beast out of the earth, and that will be the false prophet who will lead the one world religion. So, just as there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we have the dragon, Satan. We have the beast out of the sea, the Antichrist. And then we have the beast out of the earth that will be the false prophet. Now, you know that the Antichrist that we looked at last Sunday morning, he will bring together this 10 confederacy of nations that will lead the world under his dictatorship, under his totalitarian government, that he will be in charge of this world's economic system. He will have his sidekick, who will be the false prophet, that will put together a one world religion, and then he will cause people to bow down and worship this Antichrist as if it were God himself. There are some things about this second beast which comes out of the earth this morning. And you've got to understand, when John was writing somewhere around 95 AD, John was given this glimpse of the future consummation of the age of this world that's going to take place one of these days. In the book of Revelation, while there are many literal things, there are also symbolic things. For example, when you read about the dragon there, he's speaking of Satan. When you read about the beast out of the sea, he's speaking about the Antichrist. When you read about the beast out of the earth, he's speaking about the one that will be the false prophet and the false church that he leads up and the false religion of the world one of these days. What I want to hone in on this morning and focus in on is what are some things about this beast out of the earth, this false prophet who will lead this one world religion. First of all, in verse 11, we see his deceptive appearance. His deceptive appearance. John Phillips, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, summarizes the deceptive appearance and the deadly approach of this one world, false prophet who heads up the one world religion. John Phillips says the role of the false prophet will be to make the new religion appealing and palatable to men. No doubt it will combine all the features of the religious systems of men. It will appeal to man's total personality, and it will take full advantage of his carnal appetite. The dynamic appeal of the false prophet will lie in his skill in combining political expediency with religious passion, self-interest with benevolent philanthropy, lofty sentiment with blatant sophistry, moral platitude with unbridled self-indulgence. His arguments will be subtle, convincing and appealing. His oratory will be hypnotic, for he will be able to move the masses to tears or whip them into a frenzy. He will control the communication media of the world and will skillfully organize mass publicity to promote his ends. He will be the master of every promotional device and public relations gimmick. He will manage the truth with guile beyond words, bending it, twisting it, and distorting it. Public opinion will be his to command. He will mold world thought and shape human opinion like so much potter's clay. His deadly will lie in the fact that what he says will sound so right, so sensible, so exactly what unregenerate men have always wanted to hear. You and I are living in a generation. Now, Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus spoke about these times. In fact, those disciples asked him as they were leaving the Temple Mount and as they looked at the beautiful monstrosity of that Herod's temple, they asked Jesus, what would be the signs of the time and the end of the age? And Jesus begins in chapter 24 and 25 of the book of Matthew. He begins to expound upon this period of time. Now the Bible says the generation that lives to see these things will be the generation that will be alive when Jesus comes again. As I understand biblical prophecy, as I understand many, many biblical scholars in the area of biblical prophecy, according to the pre-tribulational view, I believe that the generation that will be living during the time from all of the things from 1948 on May the 14th when the Jews began to gather back into Jerusalem. They had not had a homeland for some 2,500 years, and they began to come back to their homeland from that time. The Bible says that Israel will become a nation in one day, and it did. And then in 1967, June the 6th, during the Six-Day War, they recaptured the city of Jerusalem. And then 2 years ago, the President of the United States declared and moved the American embassy to Jerusalem and said Jerusalem would be the capital of Israel. And so with all of these things that are going on, it would appear to me, based upon biblical, scholarly, prophetic people that have studied for many, 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 many years, it would appear that the generation that is alive will be the generation that will see Jesus come. Now, that doesn't mean that every person that's alive today, because as you know, every day, some 150, 200 people, 150,000, 200,000 people die all over the world every day. But what it does mean is there will be a generation that will be alive to see Jesus return. And according to biblical prophecy, with all of these things falling into play, with all of the world's players out there on stage, with all of the things that have been implemented and made for the tabernacle to be rebuilt one of these days in Israel, it would appear that the generation that is alive will be the generation that will see Christ come. It looks as if it will be the generation that you and I are living in. So we see this deceptive appearance of this one world religion that's coming. You and I know, if you've been keeping up with anything in the news, you know that they have been trying ever since the days of Genesis, when Nimrod and all of those with him began to try to build a tower. From that moment on, the world has been trying to move into a direction of a one world government. Nimrod tried it. God came down out of heaven and confounded their language and stopped that event back over there in the book of Genesis. And all down through biblical history, all down through human history, people have been, there are those people out there in the world that says the only way to run this world is to form a one world government. And you're hearing that. It's called globalization. That's another term that is being used. And so please become accustomed to some of these names so that you see, so that you understand what's taking place in the world that you and I live in today, that this world is moving toward this one world government that will be a part of these end time events during the days of the tribulation, when the Antichrist will rise on the scene. He will look as if he's got all of the answers to all of life's questions, and people will flock to him and be mesmerized because of all of the signs and the wonders that he will be doing that Satan will fill him with. His sidekick is the one we're going to speak about this morning. We've just looked at the appearance of this one world leader, this false prophet that will head up this one world religion, combining all facets of all various types of religions into one that people will be required. It won't be a suggestion, it will be a requirement that they will either have to do or suffer the consequences of death and starvation. And so this false prophet, what will he do? He will get the masses of the people to worship the Antichrist as God himself. Verse 12 gives us a second point today. Not only do we see his deceptive appearance, but in verse 12 we see his devilish authority. This false prophet's devilish authority. He will exercise all of the authority of the Antichrist in his presence. He will make those who dwell on the earth to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist, whose fatal wound we saw last week. He took a fatal wound and he lay in the streets, or he lay for 3 days and then was resurrected to life. We saw that. Remember, Satan will use all kinds of signs and wonders through the Antichrist and through the false prophet in order to mesmerize and hypnotize the people so they will flock at this one world leader and this false prophet's feet and do their bidding. Now, this second beast that we're looking at this morning, this false prophet, he's going to have great authority. It will be given to him by the Antichrist, who both of these will be empowered by Satan. And he will carry out the plans and the wishes of the Antichrist. And this false false religion prophet will be, he will do the bidding of the Antichrist. And he will cause people to worship this one world dictator. And this false prophet is going to be energized by none other than Satan himself as well. And so we see the deceptive appearance of this one world leader that will lead up the world's religion. He will look as if this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it's amazing how people will be deceived. It's amazing how people will be whipped into a frenzy of following him, just as they did during the days of Nazi Germany, as Hitler stood and as he mesmerized the people and they joined forces with him. Let me tell you, the devilish authority that this one world false prophet will have as he heads up this one world false religion. But there's another thing that we see here this morning in verses 13 through 18. His deadly activity. What will this second beast out of the earth, this false prophet, the one who heads up the world religion, what will be his deadly activity? These verses in 13 to 18 give us 7 deadly activities on the part of the false prophet. These activities reveal how he's going to use his influence and his experience during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation to bring the world under the control of this one world religion and this one world economy. These 7 things include, number 1, this false prophet will come up out of the earth. He will likely be a Gentile, just like the Antichrist. He will be earthly in his fullest sense of the word. So he will come up out of the earth, out of the peoples. Secondly, this false prophet will bring down fire from heaven and will perform other miracles, as verses 13 and 14 point out. Now, you and I need to keep in mind that not all of the miracles are from God. This second beast, this false prophet, he's going to be doing miracles like Elijah did in the Old Testament to prove that the Lord was true. Elijah could call down fire out of heaven. God gave him the power, the miraculous power to do that. But the deception during the end times will be anything unlike anything the world has ever seen. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said, "False Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." That would mean those that are saved during that time. Jesus said, "Behold, I've told you in advance." So this false prophet, he will be able to do signs and great wonders, just like Elijah was able to do. If you will remember, here's a third thing that he will do, a deadly activity. The false prophet will mimic the miracles of the two witnesses. Remember God's two witnesses that we said we believe will be Moses and Elijah? Because Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophets. They were up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And so we believe those will be the two witnesses God will bring back to use during the days of the tribulation to witness to people, as well as those other 144 Jewish evangelists that we had already talked about in the book of Revelation. Let me tell you, just like the Egyptian magicians, when Moses would throw down his rod or do something, then those magicians in Pharaoh's court would mimic those miracles. Let me tell you, the false prophet one of these days will do miracles just like those magicians did against Moses and Aaron in the Old Testament. Where will they get their power? Satan will energize them. Satan will give them the power to do these things only as allowed by what God allows him to do. There's a fourth deadly activity this false prophet will do. He will erect an image of the Antichrist for all of the world to worship. Now get the picture. During the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Jews have built their temple to reinstitute all of their sacrificial system to absolve for their sins as it was in the Old Testament. And during that period of time, the Antichrist will break his peace treaty with them, and the Antichrist will set himself up in the temple in the Holy of Holies, an image of him, to be worshiped as God himself. That is what is referred to in the Bible as the abomination of desolation. It is abominable to God. He will be trying to be God himself. And the Jews, of course, that will absolutely horrify and stupefy them as they begin to flee to a place that God will send them into the wilderness with wings, as we looked at. However that will be during that day, God will send them to bring protection upon their lives. But at the midpoint of this coming tribulation, the Antichrist will defile the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and will declare himself to be God. You can find 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 about that. The Bible refers to that, as I mentioned, as the abomination of desolation. Jesus referred to that in Matthew 24, 15. Now, since the Antichrist himself will be just one person, he won't be able to stay in the temple all the time. So this false prophet, this beast out of the earth, this false guy that heads up the false religion, will construct an image of the Antichrist and will put it in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And people will either have to bow to this image or die suddenly by execution or else by starvation, because they will not have access to food, which cannot be bought unless they take the mark of the beast in their right hand or in their forehead. There's a fifth deadly activity. The false prophet will raise the Antichrist from the dead. We saw where after 3 days, the Antichrist is wounded. He dies, apparently. He lays for 3 days, and then all of a sudden, he is resurrected. And even though that is not stated there in verse 14, it's certainly strongly implied that the death and the resurrection of the Antichrist is mentioned 3 times in the book of Revelation chapter 13. There in verse 3 and verse 12 and verse 14. Because this false prophet will be a miracle worker and will deceive the world, it's possible that Satan will use the false prophet as the human instrument to raise the Antichrist back to death, from death to life. The world which rejected the true resurrected Christ will follow after the false Christ in amazement after he comes back to life. Do you understand, with all of Satan's deception, how that he is going to deceive the world? He's going to deceive the masses of the people. There's a sixth thing that this false prophet will do. He will give life to the image that he sets up in the Holy of Holies. He will give life to an image that is like the Antichrist, that looks like the Antichrist. Let me tell you, the image that he's going to erect, it won't be like any other image ever created. It'll be something like out of a science fiction or a horror film. It will be animated. It will speak. It will breathe. Let me tell you, Satan's deception will reach its zenith under the final world ruler and his passionate promoter, the false prophet. And today, with humanoids and robots and all of these technological things that have been invented in our world, it is easy to see how that will come to fruition during these days. You know, I mentioned a Sunday or two ago about how the Antichrist would keep up with all of the peoples of the world, how he and the false prophet will do this. And I mentioned the summit that America did have the fastest supercomputer in all the world. But there is a new one. The Japanese have it. It calculates 2.8 times faster than the summit did. So you can only imagine, with all of the increase, no wonder the Bible says that knowledge will increase during the last days of time. We see that at every turn of the road with all of the computerized, mechanized things that we have in society today. And this false prophet will set up an image in the Holy of Holies for people to worship the Antichrist as if he were God himself. There's a seventh thing that is a deadly activity of this false prophet. He will control world commerce on behalf of the Antichrist. He will force everyone, this false prophet, over the false religion of the world. He will force everyone to take the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, either in the right hand, Scripture says, right hand or forehead. Now, he will use a totally controlled economy to secure the rule for the Antichrist. No one will be able to buy. No one will be able to sell without pledging allegiance to the Antichrist and to receive his mark. and to submit to this global registration system. His economic program is found in our text today in verses 16 and 17. He will rule with an iron fist. He will control the basic fundamentals of supply. Nobody will be able to buy and demand on demand. No one will be able to sell. No one will be able to go to the mall and eat at a restaurant or fill up their car with gas or pay utility bills or buy groceries or to pay the lawn man or to make a mortgage payment unless they have taken the mark of the beast, the tribulation trademark. It'll be a global economy that's coming. And for that to come to fruition, there will have to be a one world government, a global government under the control of the Antichrist and his sidekick, the false prophet. This one world economic system is coming. Folks, I can promise you, according to God's word, this will happen just as God said it's going to take place. The Bible tells us that when the final commercial system is unveiled, it won't be in New York, it won't be in London, it won't be in Paris, it won't be in Shanghai. It will be in Babylon, according to the Bible. That's the city of modern day Iraq. To understand that, you have to go back to the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. But I want us to look, as we conclude this morning, at verses 17 and 18. It unlocks the mystery of the mark of the beast, 666, the so-called mark of the beast. That's probably one of the most intriguing topics in all of biblical prophecy. Verse 16 to 18, it's the key that opens the door to the meaning of who is this 666, the mark of the beast, the coming one world economy, and the coming cashless society. The coming cashless society. Look at verse 13 to 16. He causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast, that's the Antichrist, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Let me tell you, the mark of the beast will simply be a vehicle to force people to declare their allegiance to the Antichrist. And if they take it, they have sealed their doom for all eternity, for they will wind up in the lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever, totally separated from God. You see, in the days of the tribulation, you will choose one or the other. You will choose to follow Jesus and receive him, or you will choose the Antichrist and take the number of his name, which will be some type of a mark that will show loyalty and devotion to him. Henry Morris, who has written a book on all of this, says the mark is something like an etching or a tattoo, which one, once it's inscribed, cannot be removed, providing a permanent, possibly eternal identification as a follower of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the dragon, that's Satan. The number 666 will be the Antichrist's own name. According to prophecy scholar Arnold Fruchtenbaum, he says, speaking of when the Antichrist appears, whatever his personal name will be, it will equal 666. Those who are wise at that time will be able to point him out. Now, people down through the annals of history have tried to figure out who is the Santa Christ. And they've come up with all kinds of people's names that end with six, that their letters all end being 666. The letters add up if you go and add up those. Well, we know that none of those are the Antichrist. You and I will not be here when that takes place. Hopefully, you and I won't be here. Let me tell you, you better know Jesus before this happens. But let me tell you, once the church is out of here, once the saved are gone from this earth, people are going to figure out who the Antichrist is. They'll know who he is. You see, when he begins to appear on the world stage at the beginning of the tribulations, those who have the understanding of God's word will be able then to identify who he is, because the numeric value of his name will equal 666. Ilmar Dahan says, six is the number of man. Three is the number of divinity. Here's the interpretation. The beast will be a man who claims to be God. 3 sixes imply that he's a false god and a deceiver, but he is nevertheless merely a man. Regardless of his claims, 7 is the number of divine perfection, and 666 is one numeral short of 7. This man of sin will reach the highest peak of power and wisdom, but he will still be merely a man. You see, the mark of the beast will serve two purposes. Number one, it will be a visible indicator of that person's devotion to the one world dictator, the Antichrist. And secondly, it will be an economic benefit to buy and to sell. The Antichrist's economic policy will just be simple. Take my mark, or starve to death, or be executed. That's the way it will be. People will be forced to make a spiritual decision. They'll either worship the Antichrist and die forever in their sins and be eternally separated from Almighty God, or else they will not take the mark of the beast, and they will decide Jesus is by far the better choice. You see, that is the real issue. Let me tell you, Revelation verse 9 and 10 says, and another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest night and day. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Revelation 14 plainly says, those during that period of time, if they take the mark of the Antichrist, their doom is sealed, and they'll be tormented day and night. John Walvoord, a professor and scholarly person, has written this. There is no doubt that with today's technology, a world ruler who's in total control will have the ability to keep a continually updated census of all living persons and know day by day precisely which people has pledged their allegiance to him and received the mark and which had not. Let me tell you, that new supercomputer in Japan, the Fugaku, F-U-G-A-K-U, that computer or something of its nature will be able to keep up with all of the peoples of the world. There will be a mark, a tattoo, a chip, or an ID card, or whatever the technology he will use. But all I can say is those who take that mark will have sealed their doom. According to the Greek preposition epi, epi, which means upon, it sounds as if this mark will be upon the right hand or the forehead. But what you and I can safely say this morning is there is the technology available to do all of this. And one of these days, all of this will come to fruition. Over 1900 years ago, the Bible predicted the usage of this mark in this prophetic passage of Scripture. Who could have predicted that many years ago that a one world economic system that would control all of the buying and selling in the world, who could have ever predicted that other than God himself? It's proof positive of the truth of the word of Almighty God. I think if there was ever a time in all of humanity to preach the book of Revelation, it is today. I know people say, oh, well, Randy, they started preaching that back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, and I heard it in the 50s, and I was scared to death. Well, let me tell you, folks, back in those days, yes, it was preached a whole lot more than it's preached today. But I want you to know today, in 2020, you can take the book of Revelation and see everything that is going to happen because the technology is in the world today for it to happen. And not only that, globalization, the one world government, the one world economy, trying to bring all the religions of the world into one. It's all out there on the human stage of life today. Let me tell you, when God says it's time, it will be time. And time will be coming quickly to an end for those who do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Be sure that you know, that you know that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, you can today. First of all, realizing you're a sinner. He's the Savior. He died for your sins, shed his blood to cover those, and rose from the dead to give you eternal life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the veracity of Scripture, proof positive that all of the prophecies that have happened in the past, that these too shall come to pass. God, I pray that this world that is in a mess, it's in a mess. America's in a mess. Creation's in a mess because creation's groaning for the day of redemption. And there is a God in heaven who rules in the kingdoms of men. Jesus, you are the answer. You're the answer for man's soul. And though some may say you don't fit with their philosophy, I know you are still the answer. You've always been, and you always will be. Father God, may someone this day reach out through faith and receive you as their Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray.